going to sing a carol, Angels We Have Heard on High. Would you stand with us, please? Angels We Have Heard on High, sweet.
Good morning. It is great to see all of you. Hopefully you all had a happy Thanksgiving this past week. I know my side of the family, we had a couple different Thanksgiving. We went to my folks on Wednesday evening, and then we went to Amber's side of the family on Thursday. So hopefully all of you had a great Thanksgiving. We still have several folks that are still out and about traveling this morning. So be in prayer that they have safe traveling mercies and will find their way back to us this morning. How many of you obviously have noticed the decorations here in the sanctuary and out in the foyer? We want to give a special thanks to Paula and to those of you that helped decorate the church. As always, the decorations are beautiful. They'll be up throughout the Christmas season through the first of the year. So we want to say thank you to Paula and those of you that showed up this past Wednesday night to help decorate the church.
The reading for the poinsettias will be next Sunday.
Okay. You'll notice that we have several of the red poinsettias throughout the sanctuary up by the sanctuary doors there. Next Sunday morning, Pastor will be reading off who the poinsettias are in honor of and in memory of. So that'll be next Sunday. And then Sunday the 22nd, you'll actually be able to take those poinsettias home with you following service. If you would, turn with me to your bulletins. I've got several announcements that I'm going to go over, some that are going to be additions to it. The first one, I want to say that this is the first Sunday of the month. So if a lot of you were under stress with traveling this past week, Stella will be doing blood pressures for any of you that want to get your blood pressure checked. Make certain it's down a little bit, but she'll be in the West Side Overflow classroom directly following service. Then secondly, the Ladies Fellowship wanted me to announce that they will have order forms out in the foyer directly following service for anyone that wants to order a pie for Christmas. There were several different kinds of pies, apple, cherry, mocha, I can't even remember them all, peanut butter. There were several, They're delicious pies. They're a 10-inch pie for $15, and they'll have those pies ready before Christmas for you guys to pick up. So if you're interested in ordering one, they will have order forms out in the foyer. And then also the ladies' retreat is coming up next month, I believe. If you ladies are still interested in going to that, there still is time to get signed up with that. See Mindy Caldwell for more information on that. This Wednesday, we'll have our normally scheduled service, but it is one of the last rehearsals for the choir cantata. So choir members, make certain you're here at 6:30, and then dress rehearsal will be this Friday. The time is to be announced. We'll probably discuss that on Wednesday, exactly when we're going to be meeting on Friday. Next Sunday, the choir will actually be performing their cantata in the church service, in the AM service. So be here for that. Directly following service, the Nixa Parade will be going on. We will be having a float in this year's parade. Sean Faulkner is heading that up. If you still want to be a part of that, I know that this coming Saturday he's going to be doing some last-minute touch-ups and putting that all together. So see Sean at any time if you are interested in helping out with that. Again, on the back of your guest registration, you'll see a list of the different events that will be going on throughout the rest of this year, the dates and times. So be looking to that. Yes, on December the 15th, in our Sunday school, in our actual church service, we are having it's called a family. I need to ask Mary.
Fun Christmas event for the whole family.
It's a fun Christmas event for the whole family.
Bethlehem Bound.
It will be our children's / all family included Christmas program. So that will be December the 15th, starting during the Sunday school hour. We encourage all of you to be a part of that. It's going to be new and it's going to be exciting and hopefully a good time had by all. So that wraps up all of my announcements. Actually, I just got hemmed from behind me. Paula, I believe, has an announcement she would like to make.
I'm going to be very quick. I know that Ben thanked me and everyone for the help, but I wanted to personally thank my small army because I can't do this without your help. I had some teens show up, some older folks. I had a whole array of people, and I appreciate every single one of their help. So thank you.
Okay. Mary did want me to let you know that those of you that are going to be involved with the Children and Family Christmas program on the 15th, she would like to meet with you directly following service. I believe she has something planned for you all, so be prepared to stay for that directly following service. If you would stand, we are going to go ahead and head into our greeting time. Find someone that you have not seen or shown.
Take a ride.
Y'all are doing good. I wanted to share with you a little bit this morning about one of our missionaries, a little bit of her background and what she's been doing the last several years. Her name is Mary Spaulding, and she has a PhD in biblical studies. She's an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene and serves as an adjunct faculty member of the Nazarene Bible College and Fuller Theological Seminary, both in Colorado Springs. Both of those are in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and she periodically teaches in colleges all around the world. In 2010, Mary went to Liberia, and there was civil war going on and had been for many years in the lives of the people there. And as a result, when she got there, she witnessed a decade of no education, a generation of young people who could not read or write, and they didn't have the knowledge. They couldn't remember. It had gone on so long that they didn't even know how to teach what needed to be taught to the people there. So she taught a Bible course in a little town called Monrovia, and several students there, they traveled great distances to attend the class, walking muddy paths, hitchhiking rides when possible, and some traveled 4 days just to attend a five-day class. Students slept on the bare floor of the church nightly, ate one meal a day, and when it rained on the tin roof, they eagerly leaned forward to listen to hear what she was having to say about God's word, and they wanted to know what they were missing out, what they didn't know. Mary says the needs in Africa are great. The blessings of servanthood far outweigh the difficulties that educators have as they're trying to teach in a different country. She taught in dirt floor classrooms with no whiteboards, much less any computers. There were no pens or papers for her students unless she brought them along, and their desk were their laps. Some classes were held under trees, shifting plastic chairs in underneath the trees to avoid the sun whenever it came out overhead. And other times, the groups learned in classrooms without electricity or any other public amenities around. Mary says that it's hard to find students. It would be hard to find students more eager to learn than these Africans. To afford any education, many of them have to go ahead and work, take care of their families, take care of their farms, their herds, or whatever, so they can only afford to miss a few days at a time, and that's why they had these education classes for about a week at a time, 4 or 5 days. And they have a central location so that people can travel and then go back home and continue their responsibilities. She has served in Africa 8 times in 11 locations and done 2-week stints to a full semester. She has always learned more than what she has taught when she has been there. So you just remember all of our missionaries and the different places they're at, and some of them are just like where Mary's at, where she travels occasionally. It's very poor situations, very much unlike what we enjoy here in the United States today. And I'm sure during this holiday season that there's a lot of missionaries that are missing families or would like to be with families or whatever. So remember our Church of the Nazarene missionaries and lots of other missionaries out there through other denominations.
Christmas is a time of giving, isn't it? I don't want to sound like I'm on your back about anything or that I'm trying to get you to do something that God wouldn't have you do. The Philippine Islands have been devastated by the storm that went through. We who have so much need to be praying for those people, and we do have a provision in the church that will help to get an offering to those people to assist them. And again, just sharing, giving, doing something to help them. And I want to put a smile on your face. and not be trying to cause you to feel badly about them, but to ask you to share what you have with the people in the Philippines. You can make the checks out to the church, and we'll be very happy to see that it gets to the proper place through Compassionate Ministries at headquarters. So whatever God would lead you to do, we would invite you to be a part of helping your brothers and sisters. At this point, I don't think any of our Nazarenes were casualties in that storm, but at least four churches in one city were totally wiped out. They have nothing. So keep that in mind. Be generous at Christmas with people who are less fortunate than yourselves. This time, we'd invite our ushers to come and receive our weekly tithes and offerings. You look so serious out there this morning. Everybody smile all at once. Well, some of you did. Father, we are so blessed to be able to bring into the storehouse of God of the great blessings that you've brought upon our lives. Now bless this offering, we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
time of the year it is to observe the Advent season, to celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, and the beauty of the season, the wonderful fellowship, the gatherings, the sharing, all the things that take place. Indeed, a great season it is. I want to say thanks to all of you who helped us to successfully host the Thanksgiving community service last Tuesday night. Several of you involved doing different tasks and taking care of things, and our praise team did a great job, and our video and sound people, and all of the things that had to work in order for it to be a wonderful gathering, and churches from across our community gathered together, and we just had a wonderful time in that event. And I want to be sure and say thanks to all of you for helping us as we hosted that. And then I want to mention to you that through the month of December, Pastor Don and Sister Ruth actually are off. Okay, so they're welcome to come here and be a part of anything they want to, but we have given them the month of December off because in the month of January, you have granted to me a month of sabbatical, and so Pastor Don will have some extra responsibilities, and so we wanted to compensate him, and so they may be in and out with us, but they're welcome to go and do whatever they need to do to attend to their family, and you know, the situations, the health issues that they indeed are dealing with over in Kansas. We continue to pray for their son-in-law who continues to his demise under ALS, and then their granddaughter-in-law who they're trying to make preparations to send to the Mayo Clinic. They're still trying to diagnose what issues have come up and been amplified after the birth of their baby, and so they're still trying to figure those things out. So you be in prayer for Pastor Don and Sister Ruth as they indeed are attending to their family and enjoying the month of December and the gatherings and things that will take place. But they indeed are released from specific responsibilities, but they're welcome to come and be with us and do whatever they want to do. So you pray for them and their family. There are many things that are listed within our bulletin, and we encourage you to continue to make those matters of prayer, to take those to your prayer closets. We trust that you'll be praying for all the special events and special services, gatherings that will be taking place. We pray that that everything has a purpose and a meaning. We're excited about being able to place a float in the Christmas parade, and we want to pray that God will just use that to minister to our community and let them see His love and the love that we have for them, and to welcome them. Obviously, through all of these special events, there are opportunities for people to come, and family members will come perhaps, and visitors will come, and we just want to be sure that we welcome them, and indeed that they sense God's love in this wonderful, wonderful season. And so we appreciate all that everyone's doing, all the extra things that are going on. And I really encourage you, on the 15th, make it a priority. Some of you are not Sunday schoolers. Some of you are kind of come to worship service. We want you to come at 9:30. It's a brand new thing. We've never done it before. It's a very exciting thing. It actually begins at 9:30 and it goes all the way through. It just is one continuous gathering and a very special event. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We're going to celebrate Jesus, and you won't want to miss it. And so you come and be a part of it. There's a part in it for everybody, everybody. And so you come and be here at 9:30 on the 15th, and make that a matter of prayer, because it's a brand new thing. And you know how it is when you do something for the first time, well, it needs a little help sometimes to get people's jump started. And so thanks for being a part of that. It'll be an exciting time. You'll enjoy it. And so let's stand together this morning. And we know that we indeed have folks out traveling, and perhaps you have family members that are traveling home or will be traveling home or those kinds of situations. And so we pray for God's mercies over those that we have enjoyed their fellowship and their company over this Thanksgiving weekend. We continue to pray for those who are battling various situations. Brother Ray Burke had to leave this morning not feeling well, and so we want to pray for Ray that God would touch him and help him. Cheryl. All right, so pray for this granddaughter. We want to remember her, and so also want to remember BJ and her family, loss of their grandmother this past week. And so glad to have Chad and BJ and Hunter with us today, and appreciate them. Yes.
Debbie lost her aunt yesterday.
All right. Sister. All right. Pray for Debbie Branstein and their family, a loss of an aunt yesterday. So a lot of things going on, a lot of changes in people's lives, a lot of transitions. They need God's touch and God's help. All right. These altars are open to you this morning. If you have need of them, you feel free to come as we sing, and then we'll join our voices together in prayer to the throne.
Come, let us
Father, we are indeed grateful for the opportunity and privilege of coming together to worship on this Lord's Day. We are thankful for a time in the year that that we can set aside to give thanks to you. We know that we want to do that every day. But Lord, indeed, we are grateful for a specific time to honor, a day set aside to acknowledge Creator God as being the giver of all gifts. So, Lord, we thank you. We realize that there may be people out there who still don't acknowledge that. For them, it's just a holiday to watch football and eat turkey and gather together. And, Lord, even when they are thankful, they don't really want to specifically be thankful to you. And, Lord, our desire is that somehow we can live our lives in such a way in the course of every day, the rest of the year, that their attention would be drawn to the fact that we believe that there is indeed a supreme being who loves us and cares for us, has provided for our needs, and indeed that we are indebted to, and that we want to give thanks to and for. So, Father, we pray that we might continue to influence our world for your sake, for your kingdom's sake. And then, Lord, as we begin this great Advent season, and we celebrate together the babe in the manger, God coming to earth. Lord, may we do it with excitement and enthusiasm. May there be a joy that overcomes all of the challenges of the season. And may Jesus shine through as Lord of all. Lord, today there are those here that may be hurting for whatever reasons, going through difficult times, emotionally, relationally, financially, maybe all kinds of challenges out there. But Lord, we know that you are more than able. You can more than meet the need. And so, Father, we ask for your touch on the lives of our people today. We pray, Father, that you would grant to them strength and wisdom and courage. Lord, we pray for these upcoming events. Pray for your blessing upon them. People prepare and get ready for them, and as they're shared, as opportunity comes for the message of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, God's love, to go out, Lord, may we make the most of every opportunity. Pray that you would use our float in these special programs to tell people that God loves them. And then, Lord, we pray you'd bless our own fellowship and worship through this Advent season, that it would just build us up, it would encourage us, it would help us as a church family to grow closer together with each other, most of all closer to you. Lord, we indeed are privileged to be your children. We are glad to be American. We pray for our country today. Pray for our president, our Congress. Pray, Lord, that somehow you would give them guidance and direction. May they not forget that Creator God is the one who is watching over and has blessed our nation so much. We need to acknowledge you. So, Lord, we have these things on our heart and mind today, friends and family who may be facing sicknesses and challenges, and we pray for your mercy over those who are traveling. Lord, we just pray that as we go from this place today and as we go about our lives, that we will just let the joy of Jesus spill out of us into the lives of others as we enjoy this blessed season. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Continue to bless us through this service. Set our minds and our hearts on you. Give us guidance and direction, we pray, and we will give you praise and honor and glory, for you are worthy. We come to adore you this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we ask it, and all God's people said, amen. We're going to ask the Mills family to join us at this time during the Advent season. We light our Advent wreath, and usually, oftentimes, we use it to introduce new families that have come into the church. Last year, we kind of changed the celebration, and we tried to introduce to you families that maybe had been around the church the longest, and honor those folks as well. And today, this season, I think we're going to do something maybe a little different even this year, and we're going to kind of honor family types, okay? They're a part of our church. And so today, we honor the multi-generational family that worships together. And so there are some others of you out there. I just wonder very quickly, those of you who have at least two generations deep where you've moved out from home, but you still worship with mom and dad in the same church, here at Nixon Church of the Nazarene. How many of you are there like that are here this morning that are multi-generational, at least two generations deep? You stand up so they can see. Just stand up. Okay, we got some families here that are, okay. And the Mills family this morning goes down three generations. And were, thank you so much, were Don and Juanita still physically able to be here with us, they also would be three generations deep. That's the Brandsteins. But we have all three generations here. Four generations three that are worshiping together. Three generations deep that are worshiping together. For you, it would be four. That's right. That's right. If your parents were here, and so we have three generations that are present, but one generation hasn't moved out of the house yet. They're still just living with mom and dad. And Autumn hasn't quite been booted out yet. Brett's still letting her stay. So at any rate. But this is a great time. We love the Advent wreath. We love the families of our church. And this particular family celebrated three birthdays this past week. Is that right?
Two.
In the last 7 days. Okay. All right. Janet and Bert and Truman celebrated his 94th birthday. And so we've asked the Mills family to read our reading for us this morning and light the candle then at the appropriate time.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming, and in this season we prepare for the coming of Christ. One of the ways we prepare for his coming is by making an Advent wreath and lighting its candles to remind us of the gifts Christ brings to the world. The Advent wreath includes many symbols to help us think about Christ and his gifts. The wreath itself is in the shape of a circle. A circle has no beginning and no end. This reminds us that there is no beginning and no end to God, and that God's love and caring are forever. The light from the candles that grows stronger each Sunday in Advent reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. Today, we light the candle of hope. The people of Israel hoped in God's promises and were not disappointed. Again and again, God delivered Israel from its enemies. We, too, have the same experience of salvation. That is why we believe in God's promise to send Jesus to us once again, to judge the world and establish his kingdom forever upon the earth. Hope is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the hope you give us. We ask that as we wait for all your promises to come true and for Christ to come again, that you would remain present with us. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word, and to do your will by sharing your hope with each other. We ask it in the name of the one who was born in Bethlehem. Amen.
Steve.
Imagine, if you will, getting a phone call from your brother during the middle of the summer. He tells you that he and his family, wife and five children, want to spend a week with you during Christmas. You haven't seen him and his family in 2 years and are happy that they have decided to come and spend the holidays with you and your family. Think for a moment about how you would prepare for their coming. Now, think about how the situation might be different if on Christmas morning you wake up and start opening gifts. Just then the doorbell rings. You go to the door, and there stands your brother and his family, announcing that they are here to stay for a week during the holidays with you. How would you feel? Most of us would agree that we would rather be prepared for a visitor than be caught off guard by someone's arrival. At Christmas, we celebrate Christ's coming to earth. Our theme today is hope. This is the candle of hope. It is a time of preparation. It is a time of readiness. And so this morning I share with you a passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And I want us to think about the thought, ready, willing, and enabled. Ready, willing, and enabled. And so let's read together from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." And here's the verse. "For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. There are some thoughts that as we think about being ready that perhaps we need to contemplate. For not only do we celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ as we celebrate Advent, but indeed we anticipate and we prepare for His second coming. We must live in a state of preparation and readiness for the second advent of Christ. And how often do we actually spend time thinking about that? Perhaps much. Perhaps we read about it. There seems to be cycles in the church where people write songs about it and there are messages preached about it. It seems to kind of cycle through every 20 years or so, and there becomes such a focus on it. And then it kind of goes away for a little bit. Not that we don't think about it, not that we're not preparing for it or praying about it, but indeed it doesn't seem to be a topic so much of conversation. But indeed, as we come to this first Sunday of Advent every year, as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ, and as we anticipate the preparedness that God made for those folks to receive the babe in the manger, we are at a stage where we've gone along for such a long time that we know that there's going to be a second coming, but we kind of have relaxed about it. We've kind of gone to sleep about it. We don't really have the sense of urgency that perhaps there are people out there that might not be ready for it, and we need to help them to prepare as well. Being prepared means that we must be watchful, not with impatient and anxious waiting, but by seeking to give honor and glory to God in all areas and aspects of our lives. And that's truly how we want to live out our lives today. And as we anticipate His coming, we are reminded historically of the preparation indeed that God made for those folks who were around at that point in time. Matter of fact, some 700 years before Jesus actually appeared here on this earth, God was writing and preparing His people to receive this one who would come. And some of them, even when He came, didn't recognize it and missed it. But I remind you in our passage this morning that in the very beginning, in the 26th verse, it says, in the sixth month, God sent an angel. An angel is a messenger of God. Someone with a message. Someone who's going to kind of warm you up to the idea of something that's happening. There were prophets that God sent to announce Jesus' birth. We're reminded of those very familiar passages of Scripture that we look back into the Old Testament and we read from the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then over in the 9th chapter, the 6th and 7th verses, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now we read that and we see it in historical perspective. It's already happened. And we know about the birth of Jesus, and now we know about these prophecies that were written some 700 years before. And we say, yeah, that all fits really well. It looks really nice. But think about the people who were reading that before Jesus got here. People that God had been trying to prepare for some time by giving them these hints, by giving them these things that would give them foreknowledge of an event that was going to take place, and yet they couldn't totally perceive it. They couldn't totally understand it. We're also reminded in the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Clues. How many of you ever put jigsaw puzzles together? How many of you do those word searches, all those kinds of things? You do all those kind of mystery games. You're trying to make all the pieces fit together. And isn't it great when all the pieces fit together and you see the whole picture? Well, see, we're kind of like that with prophecy. The puzzle's been put together. I have in my office a little jigsaw puzzle that a little fellow who only attended here for just a few weeks. He used to come and sit. His name was David. He came and sat on the front row every time he was here. And he was brought in by the van or by some other people. And he was just here for a short time. But before he left, when he found out he was going to move, he brought me a jigsaw puzzle that he had put together. It's a tiger. And he put cardboard on the back of it and made it stay together as one picture. I've got it in my office. I'll keep it forever. But, you know, it's nice. If he hadn't put that cardboard on the back there, I'm not the most patient person. I'm not the best jigsaw puzzle person. And if he had handed that to me and had fallen into many pieces, I wouldn't be able to enjoy the picture that I enjoy because I have it all together. You know, it's got cardboard. It's glued to it. It's not going to come apart. I see the whole picture. But these people in this day and time, in biblical times, they were reading this and trying to put the pieces together, trying to understand, trying to figure it out. But God was preparing their hearts and their minds to receive the birth of Jesus Christ when he came to this earth. There was preparation for when he started his ministry. We can look over in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and we read the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. There's scripture history here. This is the one that we're talking about. John the Baptist is the guy that was written about. Jesus is the one that was written about. And John's preparing the way now for his ministry to begin here on the face of the earth. We look over in John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and it says, "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe." And it goes on to say, now John wasn't the light, but he was testifying about the light. He's preparing the way. He set the stage for Jesus' ministry. Jesus came, was baptized by John. John said, "This is the guy I'm talking about. Listen to him. This is the one." So God prepared us through the words of the prophet for his birth. Here was John the Baptist, who was prophetic in nature, talking about a kingdom of repentance and of this Jesus who was coming. And today, folks, we are trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard preachers preaching messages about, well, this thing has happened, and this thing has happened, and this has taken place, and this fits in here, and this goes there. And so, boy, we're right on it. We're right close to it. It's going to happen. Could happen any time. Matter of fact, here's 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. Oh, wait a minute, that's past already, and he's not here. And so the scripture tells us that there were scoffers. They said, "Where is this coming? Our fathers have been talking about this coming for as long as we can remember." And the danger is that the enemy takes this knowledge that it's going to come, and we have such finite minds that we're trying to fit everything into time as we understand time. And God is not restricted by time, folks. God doesn't have 24-hour days, and he doesn't have 365-day years. God just is the eternal now. He just always has been, always will be, and always is. The great I Am. He's not restricted by our understanding of blocks of time. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Here's what he said to us. Here's what he wants us to understand. These are Jesus' words himself concerning when he would return to this earth. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27, "For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man." And 30 says, At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And then in verse 42, it says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." And then in verse 44, it says, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." If we truly believe that these are the last days, if we truly believe that Jesus could come at any time, wouldn't it be good for us to have a greater sense of urgency regarding those who don't know Jesus? Those whom he loves and those whom he's put in our lives that we love that don't know Jesus Christ. Part of the preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ is not only us living our life every day in a way that's honoring and pleasing to him, but it's also living with a passion for getting his message out to those who haven't met him yet. There's preparation that he has made for us, preparation that God made for his birth, preparation that God made for his ministry through John, preparation that God has made for his second coming, even through the words of Jesus himself saying, "This is what's going to happen." And then we read over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, after Jesus was departing the premises, it says in 1:11, The angels were there. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Don't be standing here. Don't just, you know, there are people that just look into the sky all the time. They just want to study prophecy, and it's a good thing. The Bible says we need to be aware. We need to have an understanding, some idea that, yes, it could be any day now. But instead of gazing into the sky and saying, oh, I'm looking for the coming of Jesus and not caring anything about those around us, one of the things we need to do is try to help them prepare. We need to be conscious of their need, not in a judgmental sort of way, but to say, God loves you and so do we. We would love for you to know this Lord that we know. We would love for you to know this Jesus that we know. We'd love for you to be prepared because he's coming back. Virtually everyone around celebrates Christmas. There are very few people that don't. There are a few people that don't, but very few. They celebrate it across the world in all kinds of cultures. So why couldn't they tag into that an awareness? If Jesus came as a surprise, a babe in the manger, how can we help them understand he's coming again? He's coming again. Only he's not coming this time to establish a church on the face of the earth. He's coming to take his church home. And he wants everyone possible to go with him. So there is preparation. There is a readiness that needs to be made. But here's what I want you to hear more than anything this morning as we talk about preparedness and the prophecies and being ready. I want you to understand that when we have a readiness, we have hope. God sent the messenger, the text tells us. But then as he was having the angel explain all of this to Mary, and Mary's trying to gather this news. I mean, she's just been hit with this, and she's trying to absorb all that. And she's going, how can this be? How can this be? And there's a lot of people to this day that are saying, how can this be? The answer today is still the same as it was with the angel speaking to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. Can I take you back to the prophecy? And his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. Nothing is impossible with God. Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing is impossible with God. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Jesus. If you want to be able to handle all the adversity of life, if you want to be able to enjoy all the joys of life as the fullest, most richest potential, know Jesus Christ. Know Jesus Christ. He is God with us. The scripture tells us that he is the hope. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, and Mike doesn't have this one, is the verse that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, God with us, Emmanuel, our hope. Jesus is our hope. And with this news, Mary began to kind of relax. And I love this passage of Scripture because here she is just receiving all this fantastic, miraculous news that just it's impossible. And the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. And all of a sudden, Mary says, well, of course it's impossible. It can't be done. It's never happened before. We've never seen that. The angel says, nothing is impossible with God. Mary's response is, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. You know when miracles take place is when willing participants connect with an able God. Faith. Willing participants. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us that we're to present our bodies as living sacrifices. That this is our reasonable service. And that when we do that, that God will in us do His pleasing will. You plus God equals a majority. Nothing is impossible with God. Emmanuel is God with us. Jesus is the hope. This morning we come, and in just a moment we prepare our heart for communion. I want to share with you something that I ran across this past week, and it just really spoke to my heart. As we think about the miraculous and what God is able to do that seems impossible to man. How many of you have ever heard of the word soldanel? Soldanel is a plant. It's a plant that lives high in the snow-covered alpine valleys. And God works one of His miracles year after year. In spite of the extremes of sunny days and frozen nights, a flower blooms unblemished through the crust of ice near the edge of the snow. How does this little flower known as the soldanel plant accomplish such a feat? During the past summer, the little plant spreads its leaves wide and flat on the ground in order to soak up the sun's rays, and it kept that energy stored in its roots throughout the winter. When the spring came, life stirred even beneath its shroud of snow, and as the plant sprouted, it amazingly produces enough warmth to thaw a small dome-shaped pocket of snow above its head. So what happens is this plant is under the snow. When it's open greenery during the summer, it absorbs the sun rays. The snows come. During the spring, while the snows are still there, it begins to birth, it begins to bloom, begins to blossom. And when it does that, it emits warmth from its root system. And interestingly enough, the snow around it, just in a small dome, melts. And the higher the flower grows, the taller the dome goes, until it burst through. It grew higher and higher, and as it did, the small dome of air continued to rise just above its head until its flower bud was safely formed. At last, the icy covering of the air compartment gave way, and the blossom burst into the sunshine. The crystalline texture of its mauve-colored petals sparkled like the snow itself, as if it bore the marks of the journey it had endured. If God can do that with a flower, and it can bloom, and the cold snows melt away, and the great color of God's creation burst forth. If God can do that, He can deal with whatever's going on in your life. If God can take that small flower and defeat the icy coldness of the snow that covers it, that we would think would freeze it and kill it. No, the warmth of God's Son emitted through its roots, through its blossom, until it bursts through the snow. And while there's cold, gray, dirty snow around it and icy, crusty kinds of other things that are dying out, here's this flower that blossoms. Don't we live in a cold, dark world sometimes? Don't we live under some really adverse conditions? Don't we sometimes kind of feel isolated and alone? And yet the warmth of Jesus Christ from within us, if we allow it to flow out, it protects us. It gives us a covering. It allows us to minister to those around us. And people see these beautiful little flowers. It gives them hope. New birth is coming. That's what God wants to do in our lives. We're going to gather in just a moment at the communion table. I'm going to ask Pastor Don to come and join me this morning. In just a moment, we're going to pray and prepare our hearts. And then we're going to allow you to come and receive the elements. And this morning, as you come and receive the elements, would you receive with them the hope that God gives? In this Advent season, the reason He came was to provide salvation to mankind. The reason He's coming again is to take His church home. Would you allow Him to come into your heart and into your life, and would you allow Him to spill out of you? Just like that soldanel flower, will you allow the warmth and the love of Jesus Christ to be emitted from your life, to melt the cold snow and ice of the world and all the tough stuff around us, and to let hope spring forth and be a flower? You heard Pastor Jill talking last week about being a fragrant aroma. May God's aroma burst forth as we go out into our world.
I don't know about you, but I was watching the TV news the other day. Did you see the incident on Black Friday where the two ladies got in the wrestling match in the mall and one lady shot the other one with a stun gun because they were debating over an item that they both wanted? Isn't that crazy? What if people wanted God as much as they want stuff? Now, I'm not saying that you should go around shooting people and say, get saved or anything like that, you know. But what if we were so hungry for God that we'd fight through anything to get Him? It's Christmas. It's the Advent season. Oh, come let us adore Him. Come to the manger. Come to the stable. Come to the babe. Come to God's love. And as you receive God's love and hope, let it emanate from your life into the lives of others. Jesus came in the manger with a defined mission to go to the cross. His broken body, His shed blood, it's reason for hope. Just as that bloom that appears to be bent over takes the sun and bursts through and blossoms for all the glory and joy of the world. Be salt. Be light. Be ready. Would you stand with me this morning? We are one at one table with the Lord. I remind you that in the Church of the Nazarene, we do not take communion by church membership. We receive communion because we are members of the body of Christ. And everyone who knows Jesus is welcome. This is His table. It's for His disciples. We're one together in the Lord. Pray with me. Father, we are here because we want to be. We are here to celebrate the Advent, the coming. And we come this morning to receive the hope that only You can give. But Lord, we want to be conduits of that hope to a world that needs it so badly. And so, Father, may all those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior come and partake of these symbols, these elements this morning that represent Your broken body and Your shed blood. And Lord, if there's anything in us this morning that would cause us to hesitate or think twice about stepping forward and receiving communion, now, Lord, now is the time for us just to acknowledge that and to confess it to You and to know that You want to touch us immediately and deliver us and cleanse us and make us whole. You don't want anyone to miss the table this morning. It's just like the holiday when we wait and we anticipate all the family gathering in. Sometimes some come late. Often some come early. Some come with a lot. Some come with a little. Some just barely make it in and don't have anything, but they're still family and we still love them. Lord, You want everybody. You said, whosoever believes. You're not trying to keep anybody out of Your heaven. You want everyone to come and sit at the table and enjoy the feast. But Lord, we need to do our part. We need to confess our sins. We need to acknowledge You as our Lord and Savior. Receive You into our hearts by faith that we have the hope, not only the great story that You came as a babe, but that You're coming again on a white horse as a mighty warrior to claim Your church and Your bride. We look forward to it. We give ourselves to You, cast our lives in utter abandon upon You, and ask You to Save us and fill us with your Spirit. Cleanse us. Make us blameless in the sight of God by your blood. And on this Thanksgiving weekend, we are grateful. We thank you for the privilege of celebrating at this table today. Have your will and your way in our hearts and lives, Lord Jesus. We love you. Thank you. Praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll ask those of you on these two sections to come and come around and return to your seat with the elements and hold them until we give directions to take. We'll have these sections to come in this way. Come, receive, come, and adore him this morning. Hope. You can't live without it. But with it, you can overcome anything. Because nothing is impossible with God. Emmanuel, God with us, his body broken for you. Eat and be thankful. Emmanuel, God with us. His blood now flows through our veins by virtue of his Son's atonement. Drink with great joy. We come to him with open hearts today to kneel at the manger with expectation and hope of his soon coming again. May the countenance of God shine upon your face. May his love flow from your hearts. May you be a peacemaker in a chaotic world. Go in God's love and grace and light your